Hello and a warm welcome back to The Sweet Spot, your go-to golf tipping show brought to you by The Racing Post. Bruce Millington is taking a well-earned break, so it's Jack Reeve joined alongside the ever-present Steve Palmer to guide you through proceedings. Steve, how do I find you on this rather dreary Tuesday morning?
Frazzled, Jack, frazzled. 1 week into the golfing year and already frazzled. 2023 not going well. Michael Van Gogh and losing the darts final was a horror start to the year, and then no return last week from our two selections. Jordan Spieth and Sung Jae Im both ended up three shots shy of the place money. Teased me all week. Spieth's third round, so disappointing. Four late nights from Hawaii has destroyed body and mind. But I'm just so thankful, as I'm sure you are, that we didn't back Colin Morikawa last week. That's what's keeping me going, that I didn't go through that ringer.
I suspect we won't see too many more comebacks like that, will we, in the rest of 2023? If people did miss the Tournament of Champions, Colin Morikawa was at one point, I think, eight shots clear of John Rahm. I went to bed expecting to wake up that Morikawa had won by three or four, and John Rahm won the tournament by three. What happened?
I feel so sorry for the Colin Morikawa backers out there. I must express my sympathy with them because, as I say, I mean, if I'd had three picks, I would have had Morikawa, and I went with just two, and I was kicking myself all week, and so relieved to not be in the Morikawa camp. I mean, there's been a lot of comparisons made with that Hero World Challenge that he threw away, isn't it? The 2021 Hero World Challenge. Yeah. But they're a lot different for me. He had a five-shot lead in that Hero, and he was awful from the get-go. His game wasn't there. It was a total capitulation in the Bahamas. This one was completely different because he made such a fantastic start. He was three under par through six holes. His game was in absolutely fantastic fettle. He looked to be cruising to victory. It seemed like pars were his friend. You know, every par he made, you felt like it was a result. But then suddenly John Rahm turned, he charged at him like a Spanish bull, didn't he? You had this big Spanish bull coming at little Matador Morikawa, and the Matador was gored through the chest, so to speak.
Because didn't the big Spanish bull make bogey down the first as well?
Yes. All good rounds start with a bogey. But that spurt in the middle of the back nine, he went birdie, 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 eagle from the 12th to the 15th, and it was all happened so quickly, and this is what rattled Morikawa, who just serene progress all the way through, and then he just had this sudden injection of pressure, and that resulted in Morikawa's play suddenly dipping. I mean, he had that thinned bunker shot at 14, duffed the chip at 15. Too much spin on the approach at 16. So bogey, bogey, bogey. All of a sudden, everything changed. It was remarkable scenes. And I feel for Morikawa backers, and I feel for Morikawa.
The narrative will be around Morikawa, and rightly so, because that's the story. But we must talk about John Rahm, because we're watching one of the world's best golfers. And I think we often forget when we're watching professional sport, whether it's golf, whether it's darts, whether it's football, whatever it is, just how good these guys are. I saw a wonderful stat. I sent it to you, Steve. If you were to work out John Rahm's club handicap, if he was a member at a recreational golf club, he would have a handicap of plus 13. You're needing to go 13 under par on a golf course to finish par. Yeah. We're watching a remarkable golfer right now.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think not enough credit is being given to Rahm for what happened on Sunday. And too much criticism is coming in for Morikawa. Yeah, Morikawa didn't do much wrong. It's just three holes where it went wrong. He was absolutely magnificent for the large majority of the tournament. And put it this way. If John Rahm had shot a seven under par round on Sunday, Morikawa would have won. A seven under par 66, we'd all be sitting here, Morikawa's won, well done Morikawa, massive season ahead. It's the fact that he shot a 10 under par 63 that ruined it for Morikawa. And all credit to Rahm. Morikawa's got to take positives. He was in tears, virtually in tears afterwards, because he's got a lot of Hawaiian ancestry, you see. This wasn't just an average event for him. He's got lots of family. Yeah, there used to be a restaurant in Maui called the Morikawas.
Really?
Run by his grandparents. Yeah,
what did they serve?
Sake. And I think sake was the signature dish. But this meant a lot to him. He was talking when things were going well about how the spirit of Maui brings out the best in him. Like, yeah, it all looks such a wonderful script, and then it was just ripped away. But Morikawa, when he has a couple of days just relaxing on the sun lounger in Maui, has to take positives from this. I don't see many negatives. You know, his work with his new putting coach, Stephen Sweeney. He recruited Stephen Sweeney in November, and the putting stroke has been immediately sorted out, hasn't it? His putting was magnificent last week, so much more positive. And
are we confident that Morikawa's putting going into the rest of the season will be strong? Because that's often the element of his game that's let him down, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's it. I mean, if his putting is solved, which it seems really, really, really encouraging signs, you know, he's going to be contending for everything, isn't he? Because his tee to green game is exceptional. You know, probably the best iron player in the sport. So if he has consistent putting from here, then Morikawa was in for a massive season. And I think he just needs to just shrug off what happened last week. What happened last week was one bad bunker shot, one duffed chip, and then the magnificence of Rahm. That's what changed the tournament. But Morikawa, for me, is still massively on my radar. There's lots of people I'm speaking to who are saying, oh, he's never going to recover from this. It's a nonsense. I think Morikawa, last week was a positive for him. And for the US Open, keep him on your radar for the US Open. I fancy him for the US Open still.
Absolutely. Positives to be taken for Morikawa. Were there any other players in that event that caught your eye that maybe come onto your radar a little bit more than they were before?
I'm thinking more for 12 months ahead, actually, because I know it's probably ridiculous to be thinking that far. But John Rahm came over to Maui on December 27th. And, you know, for all the sort of things we look at and all the factors we study going into the Century Tournament Championship, I think the people that get over there quickest and settle in and have their new year over there and relax and practice there are the ones to be on. And John Rahm likes to get over there early. And had settled in. You contrast that with Aaron Wise, who turned up on the Tuesday of tournament week. You know, it's a big contrast between when players go over, and I think, you know, next year we need to be much more on the ball on that.
I don't even know what I'm having for my lunch, let alone checking the arrivals board at Hawaii in 12 months' time.
Well, you just got to obsess with the Instagrams and all the social media, TikToks, and find out where these fellas are. But I don't know. I think I can relax about missing Rahm. What was he, 6-1, general 6-1? Yeah, Morikawa winning at 20-1 would have really hurt me. And, you know, psychologically for me, it's much better that Rahm won that, because 6-1, we can let him win at 6-1. I don't think he was a fantastic value, but Morikawa at 20-1 was. And we got away with it there. Yeah, Rahm says he's the best player in the world now. Did you see his interview afterwards?
Damn it, you can argue with that, can you?
He's so cocky. Well, he's world number 5, so you can argue with it. But the world ranking system... Yeah, there's a lot of people questioning the integrity of it at the moment because they changed it slightly. But he was saying Scotty Scheffler was the best player in the world at the start of last year. Then Rory McIlroy took over, and then he says, I'm the best player in the world now. I think, you know, Rory might have something to say about that. He probably wasn't very impressed with those comments. But
Let's hope those comments don't go in the way that Michael Van Gerwen's did when he said he would not lose to Bully Boy in the final.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
I should have brought that up. Sorry, Steve. You were going so well. Let's move on then to the Sony Open this week. A really good field this week. Looking forward to this one. Let's take a look at the market leaders. Tom Kim, your favourite, 11-1. Sung Jae-im, 12-1. Jordan Spieth, 14-1. Former winner Hideki Matsuyama, 18-1. Brian Harman, 18-1. Henley, 20s. Bigger the rest. Steve, where are we playing? What can we expect? Are you looking forward to it?
Oh, I'm very much looking forward to it. Yeah, we're at Wahailai Country Club, Honolulu, Hawaii. 7,044 yards. Par 70, a tiddler. Only two par fives. It's been the Sony Open venue since the old King died. We had 144 runners going to post, and a much contrasting challenge to last week's plantation course. First leg of the Hawaii swing, a long, wide open track. The second leg, a short, tight track, thin fairways, small greens. But if you're accurate and you putt well, you can score fantastically here. Justin Thomas, card at a 59 at Waialae. I wouldn't rule out another one this week, given how good the forecast is. You know, sunny, warm, gentle breezes. I think scoring is going to be low. And then the stat that it does the rounds before this tournament every year. Now the stat is 17 of the 24 Sony Opens have been won by players who played in the tournament of champions the previous week.
Okay.
I mean, they're the best players, so I don't get too carried away by that stat, because obviously they're the best players, got the most chance of winning. But yeah, 17 of 24.
We've had some good former winners, haven't we? Hideki won it last year, Cameron Smith, Justin Thomas. Like, it's a prestigious sort of roll of honour, really, with this one.
You're right. Yeah, Hideki Matsuyama!
Should we open up with your first tip of the show then, Steve?
Best bet. Strong bet. Very excited about this. As you've already mentioned, my affection for him, it's growing deeper every single time I see him. It's Tom Kim, 11-1 Tom Kim, who continues to make remarkable course debuts, you know, which suggests we're dealing with something so special. It doesn't seem to matter one jot that he has no course experience when he turns up at these places. Yeah, this quirky venue last week, wouldn't it? You know, it takes a little bit of getting to know. He's just got such a tight, controlled game that he can adjust quickly anywhere. He opened up last week on his century debut with an 8 under par 65. He found 17 greens in regulation, Jack. I mean,
that's good going.
Swaggers in. Oh, what's this? Oh, yeah. Really, really quirky course. Yeah. Look, people have spent years trying to learn the angles of attack at Kapalua. Yeah, I just hit 17 greens in regulation. I mean, what are we dealing with here? He follows up with a 69, 68, 68, fifth place. And that fifth place came despite an unusually poor week of putting. He didn't hole anything over the first 2 days. So Kim, not really out of second gear last week and finished fifth. Three of the players who beat him are not playing this week. And this week's venue, a much better fit for him. Another course debut. Who cares? Kim will be so excited about it. He's had 3 days of full. He'll have 3 days of full practice. Obviously, a short journey. It's an island hop, Maui to Honolulu. So he's got 3 full days of practice. And he'll see that the setup is absolutely dreamy for him. He's so accurate from tee to green. He's typically deadly on the dance floors. His one weakness is a lack of driving distance. The Tom Kim weakness is a lack of driving distance in comparison to members of the elite. The other members of the elite, and it doesn't matter at Waialae. On most of the par fours, he can hit 3 wood and he'll still have a wedge in his hand for his approach. His maiden PGA Tour victory came on a short par 70. Wyndham Championship in August, won that by 5 shots. He then won the Shriners Open by 3 shots in October. He's not even 21 yet, turns 21 in June, still improving. Thomas the Tank Engine, hat-trick hero, PGA Tour hat-trick hero on Sunday. Just got to turn the heater off, sweating.
Getting too warm, that's a rarity. Got no cost of living crisis in the Palmer household.
Well, the bill hasn't come yet, has it? Yeah, you wait till the...
at which point do we get fully carried away with Tom Kim? Because I always feel, you mentioned there is age, there is a risk that we maybe overexert their potential and things maybe don't go to plan. But you're obviously confident that Tom Kim is the real deal.
Yeah, because it's not just his golf game, is it? It's his temperament, it's his character. He's fluent in 3 languages. I love dropping in that like that, really. You know, he's fluent in 3 languages, but it does show a certain application. I was reading a funny story the other day. Shane Lowry was playing with him in an event in Asia, and he went up to him and he said, how old are you? And Tom Kim goes, I'm 17. And Shane Lowry, I can't say on here, he said a swear word because he was so like, oh, my God. Like, you know, yeah, this is another lad I'm going to have problems with. At 17 years of age, Shane Lowry was thinking Tom Kim's amazing. Now he's 20 years of age and he just continues to develop. And he's so young and he's been so brilliant and he's so fearless and he's so fearless. He just swaggers into Jordan Spieth's house on Christmas Day. Did you see that one?
No, I didn't.
Tom Kim didn't really have any family over in America. He's just moved to Dallas. And okay. He's just settling in Dallas and in his new house. And he was going to be sort of on his own on Christmas Day. Yeah, I'm sure he would have found someone to sort of hang around with. But Jordan Spieth found out about this because he's a Dallas man as well and invited him round on Christmas Day. So Tom Kim's gone around Jordan Spieth's house on Christmas Day and is playing with Sammy Spieth, you know, Jordan's young son. He was sort of babysitting. Jordan Spieth said he's never seen anyone eat so much. He was the biggest eater. Tom Kim was the biggest eater he's ever seen. He's a big, bulky lad.
He is.
A lot of the Asian lads are not born like that, not built like that. But Tom Kim is a unit. You know, his nickname is Thomas the Tank Engine. He looks like a blooming tank engine, doesn't he? He's a beast of a man, let alone a golfer. And I just think it's not just his golf game, it's his character. He's only got one weakness in the golf game, which I think will gradually improve his driving distance. I think he's still adding length, but he's got no other weakness. And I think he's going to be a global superstar. And I know you're right. You know, you're trying to temper my enthusiasm, calm me down. But I think you're going to struggle. I think you're going to struggle to calm me down. I certainly, when he goes to a short track like this, where it's all about accuracy and short game skills, I can't resist him. I can't leave him out of staking plan. I don't like backing favourites, but I've got to this week.
All aboard Thomas the Tank Engine for Steve Palmer. Hopefully a first-class ticket to the winner's enclosure. Tom Kim, first tip for Steve Palmer. Who's the second?
Next best. We've only got three tips. The next best is Harris English at 45-1, who's slowly but surely been getting back to his best after hip surgery. He had a five-month hiatus in his career. Returned to action in June last year. By September, he was looking decent again. He's making cuts on a regular basis. A month ago, he finished third in the QBE shootout alongside Matt Kuchar. Played well in that. The Sony Open will be a great measure of where English's game is because he loves this event. His record at Waiala, he was ninth in 2013, fourth in 2014, third in 2015. And don't forget, 2 years ago, he won the other event, the Century Tournament Champions. He's going for the Hawaii double this week. Two of his four PGA Tour wins have come on a par 70. He seems to like courses where he can leave the driver in the bag for the most part. His short game has always been mustard. I think we're in for a really low scoring week and English is equipped to handle that.
How do you approach these early tournaments, Steve, of a new golfing season? Because I guess in sort of football and other sports, you approach with slight trepidation because there's a bit of a lengthy break. With golf, it's finish one and straight into the next. Is there much difference or exactly. Are you approaching it with caution?
No, the break is so short now, isn't it? There's not a huge amount of rust in any of these boys' systems. Patrick Cantlay was the one that I ruled out last week because of rust. He hadn't played for donkey's years. A lot of them are in action before Christmas. There was an Asian Tour event that finished on Christmas Day, if I remember rightly.
Was there?
I think I've got that right. Yeah. I'm not worried. I approach it without fear. Without fear, Jack.
Good. Very good. Harris English, about 40-1. Third and final tip then for the Sony Open.
55-1 currently there. Christian Bezuidenhout, he's a perfect fit for why I like.
Yeah,
supremely
I like Christian.
Accurate. You love Christian, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
He's ready to win on the PGA Tour, yeah? Ready to win on the PGA Tour?
Yeah, I'd say so.
He's 28 years of age now. He's never been more confident. Supremely accurate, magnificent short game skills. Like Tom Kim, doesn't hit it far, but it doesn't matter at Waialae. He made his Sony Open debut last year, quickly fell in love with the place. 65 out the gate, 69, 65, 67, finished 17th. His next top 20 came by the coast as well in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. He was second in the John Deere Classic in July, so he's been getting closer to that PGA Tour breakthrough. And you talk about rust, there's hardly any in Bezuidenhout in that system. He played a lot of golf in his homeland just before Christmas. He was fifth in the Nedbank Challenge, third in the Joburg Open, 26th in the Alfred Dunhill. The first of his three DP World Tour victories came on a tight, fiddly course, Valderrama, where accuracy is essential. I think it's entirely feasible that the first of his PGA Tour victories comes on a tight, fiddly course on Sunday.
Imagine growing up playing golf in South Africa. It must be beautiful, mustn't it?
I'd love to play
golf there.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever been? You're a jet setter, aren't you?
Cape Town. I've never played golf. Yeah. Cape Town was beautiful. Absolutely
wonderful.
What did you
do there? That's just a little holiday, was it?
Yeah, it was a little holiday.
You wooed a girl over there.
I did, actually. No, I was very, very well behaved. I got awful food poisoning there, though, because apparently the water's not great. And I had a salad and I was trying to be good. That's what you get for trying to be healthy.
That is what you get for trying to be healthy. Yeah, yeah. Don't try and be healthy. We've all learned lessons last week, actually, from Xander Schauffele. Did you see the Xander Schauffele comments? His back's let go. And he says it's down to he's up in his training regimes and he was, he's in big trouble. Xander Schauffele's season's in big trouble because his back's gone early in the year.
This is the thing, isn't it? I always fear when I see Rory doing like these big squats and powerlifting. I'm like, just stick to the driver. What are you doing?
Yeah. Schauffele said, "I wish I just stayed fat." You wish I just stayed fat. That's exactly what he said. He just didn't. Yeah. If you're fat and you don't do any training, you're not gonna get injured, are you?
I'd say the likes of Shane Lowry. It's probably muscle of some sort rather than fat.
Colin Montgomery was at his best when he was fat.
Colin, yes.
Yeah, he lost weight and then lost his swing. Sorry, we're getting sidetracked. Yeah, stay fat. That's the message of this podcast.
New Year's resolution. Exactly.
Get fat. Get fatter.
Exactly. So let's reiterate the three tips then for the Sony Open. Then we'll get on to the Hero Cup. I know everyone's waiting for that.
Oh, blimey. Yeah, the Hero Cup. We've got Tom Kim, Harris English and Christian Bezuidenhout. And a lot of punters out there, given that we were on Sung Jae Im and Jordan Spieth last week, probably want to know why we're avoiding them this week. And yeah, Sung Jo Im, I think he'll have a big year, be consistently on leaderboards. But his putting last week tormented me. Three of his four rounds were poor. He had a four putt at the 13th hole, Jack, on Sunday. Sung Jo Im, yeah, I still had hopes of him finishing the places until the four putt at 13th on Sunday. And he missed the cut by three shots in the Sony last year. So we can leave Sung Jo out this week. Jordan Spieth's short putting last week, Jack. I don't know how much you watched of Hawaii. It's very late. Bruce doesn't bother watching it because he's...
I watched a bit of it. Jordan's putting has always concerned me. You've got more hope of him holding a 30-footer than you do a 3-footer, don't you?
It's bonkers, isn't it? Yeah, and he missed three really short putts last week. Yeah, I just cannot... I think it's so hard for a seasoned golf punter to transition their brain to Spieth's a bad putter. Because in his glory years, he was, you know, Roy the Rover stuff, as you say, holding from 20, 30 feet everywhere. You know, his putting stats for the last couple of years are a cause for concern. You know, and I may need to make that transition at some stage. I haven't transitioned yet. I may need to transition into Spieth. He's not a good putter anymore.
It's difficult. I think if you've had a putting stroke, it's difficult to lose. I think with... anything with a sort of 6 foot and in, it's all mental. Like, it's so easy to just, you miss a couple and then it's gone for a bit. I think it'd be harsh to say he's a bad putter overnight, but
he says he struggles on straight putts. If there's no break in it, he can't handle straight short putts. He's saying some weird stuff, and he admitted to a lot of
mental errors
last week. Yeah, he said he made lots of mental errors last week. You know, course management errors. Yeah, I didn't like how he was speaking afterwards. And he missed the cut in his last visit to Waialae in 2019. So, yeah, that dent to flat stick confidence for both him and Spieth last week is enough for me to ignore them and go all in on the Thomas the Tank Engine.
Looking forward to it. Can't wait. The Hero Cup, then. Let's take a look at this. We're jetting over to Abu Dhabi. Now, when I was doing my research for this, I was getting awfully confused because I thought they'd moved the Hero Open, which I think... do I remember Sam Horsfield winning that?
Well, you've got your Hero Opens, you've got your Hero World Challenges. You've got every right to be confused. Hero are obviously a thriving company, and they're sponsoring everything. I mean, you have Cazoo and Hero are basically clearly the two most successful companies on the planet.
Exactly. Well, I hope that those of you watching at home won't be confused after Steve Palmer's analysis of this. So we're going over to Abu Dhabi, Steve. It's the inaugural event of this tournament. And we've got Continental Europe against GB and I in what is a kind of practice for the Ryder Cup.
Yeah. It was invented by Luke Donald as Ryder Cup prep. You know, the Americans get their President's Cup in between Ryder Cup years to keep them, you know, invested in match play golf and work out pairings and whatnot. So this was Luke Donald's invention. And we're back at Abu Dhabi Golf Club, which was obviously the Abu Dhabi Championship venue from 2006 to 2021, got ditched last year. 7,642 yards, par 72, four par fives. The average winning score in the 16 editions of the Abu Dhabi Championship there have been 18 under par. We've got great weather forecast. We're going to see lots of birdies this week. We've got two teams of 10. One session of four balls on the Friday, two sessions of foursomes on the Saturday, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. You know, foursomes is the format that Luke Donald wants these players to practice. They don't play much foursomes. So we've got two sessions of that, and then we've got 10 singles on Sunday. Do you want me to go through the teams?
Go on then. I think it's important to provide some context.
Pretty ruddy essential, isn't it? Yeah, we've got Continental Europe. I call them the home side because they're a little bit closer to Abu Dhabi. We've got Francesco Molinari as the captain, Thomas Detry, Nikolai Hogard, Adrian Moronk, Guido Migliovi, Alex Noren, Victor Perez, Thomas Peters, Antoine Rosner, Sepp Straka. And then for GB and I, Tommy Fleetwood is the captain, Ewan Ferguson, Tyrrell Hatton, Shane Lowry, Robert McIntyre, Richard Mansell, Seamus Power, Callum Shinquin, Jordan Smith, Matt Wallace.
That's a pretty decent field. It gives you some form of hope for the Ryder Cup. There's some good names in there.
Yeah, and all our big guns are not playing in this. So this is the players that are sort of trying to impress the captain and force their way onto the team.
And Rasmus isn't playing, is he? Did he pull out with injury or something?
Rasmus injured and Nikolai came in.
Okay, so I'm really interested to see how you approach this from a tipping standpoint. I'll just read you the prices of to win it. GB and Ireland 4-5, the tie 12-1, Continental Europe 5-4. So GB and Ireland are marginal favourites for this one. Steve, how are you going about it from a tipping portfolio?
I'm having a small bet on the draw at 12-1. I've got no passion for punting either team at a short price. GB and I are a shade of odds on, as you say. They're slightly more tempting than the Continentals are a shade of odds against. But I just think you've got two evenly matched teams. motivation to win is not particularly high. You know, I mean, they're all keen to impress Luke Donald, but you know, in terms of being on the winning team, if you're a member of the winning team, you get $125,000. If you're on the losing team, you get $75,000. So there's only a $50,000 difference between winning and losing. And GB and I, they've got the trump cards for me. You know, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, and Shane Lowry, they've won four Abu Dhabi championships between them on this course. All three of them are Ryder Cuppers. All three of them should win points. But the GB and Ireland tail, if I can slip into cricketing parlance, is weaker in my opinion. You know, I feel like the Continentals have fewer weak links. I think they've got a balanced squad there. You know, GB and Ireland got the best, but they've also got the worst. I just think it's going to be a close contest. I want a small dabble on the draw. I'm not that passionate about the tournament, I must say.
Any other combined point scorers or stuff like that?
Top continent. Yeah, we've got to have a top in each. We have top continental European. I think Thomas Dutrieux at 7-1. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see who plays with who. You know, Luke Donald essentially invented this event to help the Ryder Cup cause. Is the Ryder Cup captain picking the pairings for this? I mean, I don't know. I mean, even if he was, I don't think that they would say he was, because you've got these captains, Francesco Molinari and Tommy Fleetwood. You know, I think the integrity of the competition might be, you've got to pretend that they're picking them. But I suspect Donald is calling the shots behind the scenes. And I'd be surprised if he doesn't want to look at Thomas Dutrieux and Thomas Peters. You know, Dutrieux is on the Ryder Cup radar. He's made a bright start to his PGA Tour career. Dutrieux and Peters won the World Cup together. Do you remember that one in 2018, Royal Melbourne?
Yeah,
we were on them. Yeah. We were, you know, Dutrieux and Peters, good friends, natural partnership, World Cup winners. I think Donald will want to look at this partnership. You know, if it works well, then Dutrieux will be closer to getting on the team. You know, Peters hasn't played for a while. He's just had another kid, but he's got a fantastic Abu Dhabi record. You know how much he's all class. And Dutrieux, I've checked. Dutrieux's got JP Fitzgerald on the bag this week, so he's got his favoured caddy on the bag. And I think Dutrieux and Peters is the most obvious pairing. You know, it's difficult to come up with Continentals pairings, but I think they'll definitely play together in the four balls, and if they win that match, they'll stay together.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Do you think it will have any tangible benefit for the Ryder Cup? This little warm up?
Yeah, I think some new partnerships could develop from it. I saw Shane Lowry suggesting he can play with Seamus Power, you know, his fellow countryman, you know, he gets on well with. So I think, yeah, you might see some new partnerships develop from this that could continue in the Ryder Cup. But yeah, the thing for me is how many of these players are going to be actually in the team. I mean, I see nine bankers for the Ryder Cup team at this stage, Jack. Well, certainly 8.5 bankers. Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, Matt Fitzpatrick, Victor Hovland, Shane Lowry, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, Thomas Peters. I mean, we've got that. And then Robert McIntyre. Robert McIntyre is a course winner. He won on the Marco Simone Italian Open last year. So, yeah, I think there's nine certainties. And then I think if the Hogarths play well in the next few months, I don't think Donald will be able to resist pairing the twins. And I think Donald would fear assassination if he didn't pick an Italian. So I think he's done his job for him. Molinari or Guido Migliozzi for the other one. So there's not many places up for grabs. I think we might see seven of the cup team this week. Sorry, I'm just rambling on.
No, I like it. You've just done Luke Donald's job for him. I'm sure he's tuned in, and we'll take huge help from that.
Yeah, that's his team.
So I think that the message for this one is enjoy it, but approach with caution.
Yep, and we've got a top Great Britain and Ireland tip as well. It's all about the Toms and the Thomases and the Tommies this week.
You know, I'm getting slightly lots of Thomases this week.
Lots of time. Yeah, my son would be very pleased with my staking plan this week. I'm going to top GB and I is Tommy Fleetwood, 5-1.
Okay.
He's won twice at Abu Dhabi Golf Club. He's won twice at this course. He's the captain, so yeah, supposedly more motivation. You know, he'd be in charge of the team to some degree. And, you know, who's Fleetwood going to play with? I mean, Luke Donald, if this is purely Ryder Cup prep, will want Fleetwood to play with a potential Ryder Cup partner. You know, so maybe Fleetwood gets a Tyrrell Hatton, maybe he gets a Lowry, maybe he gets a McIntyre. I don't think there's anyone else on that GB and Ireland team that has a great chance of making the Ryder Cup side. So, I think Fleetwood would get a good partner. To be honest, this is not a tournament that has got my punting juices excited. I mean, this is the first tournament in a long time I've looked at and thought the best option might be no bet. No bet on the entire thing. Yeah, I mean, I think a small bet on the draw, and then maybe an each way double on Detry and Fleetwood in the top scorer markets might be the best tactic. But the Sony Open is by far the better betting event. Yeah, there's no win forecast, hardly any win forecast for the Sony. No draw bias possibilities. I think that's a really attractive betting event, but this one is tricky.
There we go. Well, if you are at home watching, please do remember to gamble responsibly. If you don't fancy a bet and that, don't have one. Steve, I think that's it for the tipping this week, isn't it?
Yeah. Two tournaments. Back to normal next week with two proper tournaments. You know, we're missing the each way doubles, aren't
we? What have we got to look forward to next week?
We're Abu Dhabi. We're Abu Dhabi Championship, and of course we are the American Express.
And is the American Express the one that Siwoo Kim won a couple of years ago?
Yeah. We enjoyed that.
I love that tournament.
Yeah.
I love Siwoo Kim.
Great days, weren't they? Yeah. Well, we'll be having a good look at him next week. We'll be having a good look at him.
What are you up to in the next 7 days?
Well, it's just living like a blooming owl, isn't it? I'm just behaving like an owl at the moment. Yeah, you know, the Hawaii swing is pretty grueling, you know. So just hibernate in the day and then come out at night and eat lots of mice.
Steve, enjoy the feast, and I hope everyone at home has enjoyed this week's episode of The Sweet Spot. Bruce will be back as normal for next week to preview those tournaments Steve's just mentioned. Please only ever gamble with money that you can afford to lose, and enjoy the golf. See you later, everyone. Bye bye.